Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside segment. I'm Harold Fisher. July 4th is Independence Day for the nation, but tonight we are talking about your emotional independence. During a time when everyone's emotions are being tested, how do you find your emotional independence and find it for your loved ones? Helping us with this Wellness Wednesday conversation, our author and soul wealth coach, Vicki Johnson, and licensed therapist, Paul Bechet Williams. Lines are open. Give us a call if you are trying to figure out what emotional independence means for you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Vicki and Paul, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Harold.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. Paul, I want to start with you. How do you define emotional independence?
Well, to me, emotional independence is being able to rely on yourself for your, when it comes to the emotional acceptance, resiliency, or being able to really trust yourself, whatever emotions that you have, is not dependent on another person. Like, I'm not going to depend on another person to provide me happiness. I'm not going to ask another person to solve whatever I'm feeling to make me feel a certain way. I know within myself, I trust myself that I can find what I need when it comes to my emotions, and I'm okay with them.
Mm-hmm. Is emotional dependence a bad thing?
So there's a difference. I think interdependence, which is healthy. So in a relationship, we have certain standards, not expectations, but certain standards. So if I'm depending on someone to do something specific, and I'm in control of my emotions and why I react to that. So dependency is totally different. And I think there's some unhealthy characteristics tied to the word dependency when it comes to an emotional state.
So, Vicki, let's talk a little bit about emotional independence from the perspective of, let us say, you know, romantic relationships or marriage, for example. Is that emotional independence good for that strong bond?
I believe it is. I believe taking personal responsibility for your emotions, being committed to staying in a healthy space, is important inside of a relationship so that you don't become codependent in an unhealthy way, meaning your emotions are so tied to your partner's, right, that you're not really clear on how you are feeling. I think that emotional independence inside a relationship is also powerful because now you each are bringing, ideally, your emotionally healthy selves to a relationship, and you're not operating as two halves trying to make a whole, but you're coming together each as a whole person, which makes the partnership even more powerful. So I think that's the value, if you will, of doing the personal development work, of doing the inner healing, of, you know, dealing with your trauma, your triggers, so that when you come to a partnership, you're bringing a healthy environment and not one where you're seeking and searching for what you did not get in your past life prior to the relationship.
But hold on, Vicki. Help me out with this, because everybody comes to a relationship, whether it is a romantic relationship, it is a platonic friendship, but everybody comes with deficits. I mean, I would argue that the thing of being whole, while wonderful to think about in the abstract, is probably not realistic, because everybody's missing something.
Everybody could be missing something, Harold. I'm going to challenge you on that. I think that's part of being emotionally mature, right? I'm not saying that we don't have deficiencies or areas where we can get better, but that's the power also of being self-aware, of being intentional of getting educated, of having conversations like we're having, getting support where you need support, going, you know, to therapy, normalizing that support is a good thing. That is a part of our being emotionally healthy and really why we're having conversations like this, which I think are valuable, particularly in times of turmoil like we are in. Like, there are layers to this. There are dimensions to this. And part of what I get to do and what Paul gets to do and others who are in this space, what we get to do is offer an alternative. Yeah, we possibly could be collectively deficient, but that's the work. That's the opportunity that we have to get men and women to approach relationships differently and be really intentional about that.
Let me try to encapsulate that so I know that I understand. So being whole does not mean being deficient. Being whole could mean that you are deficient and aware of your deficiencies or faults and working to better them.
Yeah, and choosing to work on them, because not everybody makes that choice. Some people are like, this is me. This is how I am, take it or leave it. And again, I believe that everybody at every moment lives at choice. So if you encounter a person who is like, take me as I am and I'm not going to change, then you get to choose if you want to engage in that. But we all have the opportunity to choose to live in what I like to call a state of perpetual healing, which is really personal evolution and becoming my best self, so that as I am living my life and whoever is a part of my life and I a part of theirs, you know, then we're living in a space that is healthy, that is beautiful, and that we have the opportunity, you know, to create legacy that we can pass forward. So now we are leaving behind, you know, generational blessings and not generational deficiencies and areas where our children and our children's children are starting, you know, way behind. It's opportunity for us to shift.
Ladies and gentlemen, Vicki Johnson is in the house, drops the mic. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about emotional independence on this Wellness Wednesday, having a conversation about what it is and how to find it for yourself and for your loved ones. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Paul, you got a lot of work to top that. How...
We're on the same team.
So, look, how do you know, Paul, if you are emotionally dependent on someone?
Mm-hmm. So a person who is emotionally dependent is looking for that outside source to either make them happy, to fix them, whenever they have an issue. They feel, we use the word deficient so we can be consistent in the conversation. They feel that they can't do it by themselves, so they have this mentality and thought process that deficiency is how they operate out. So whenever they get into a relationship, they're seeking something or someone to fix that emotion because they're not ready to address it. They don't know how to address it, or they haven't given themselves an opportunity to address it. Hmm. So if a person is operating out of that, then they're always searching. They can't spend time alone because they feel like when they're isolated, they feel like they don't have that thing to lean on. They don't have that person to lean on to fix them, to kind of, you know, help them throughout their day, throughout their issues. And there's a lot of people who struggle with that. And even in love addiction is something that people struggle with that. And that's one of the main underlying issues with love addiction. That's why people are so in love with the honeymoon phase, but they jump in and out of it. And they're constantly seeking it because they're dependent on someone else to keep them happy, even if it's through their efforts.
So even if an incurable romantic decides to attempt to make that honeymoon phase last, would you say that's unhealthy or not?
It's unhealthy when you feel like anytime there's a little disruption or discomfort, that means that the relationship is over. Or they feel like something, if it doesn't go exactly the way it's planned, they feel like, okay, now I'm in chaos. When we talk about healthy relationships, people automatically think perfect relationship. A healthy relationship is not a perfect relationship. A healthy relationship can withstand the discomfort, the challenges. Sometimes you get upset, you get angry with each other. Things don't go perfectly. But what you can do is, that's what we call the emotional independence, you're able to check yourself and be okay and understand I can express what I'm feeling to a person, and regardless of what the response is, I'm still going to be okay. And then we can have a conversation about our emotions.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about emotional independence, how to find it for yourself and for those around you. If you have a comment or if you have a question, give us a call. Of course, we are taking your phone calls even after 7:30 at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, Vicki, give me an example of emotional independence, and can that sometimes be mistaken for someone who perhaps is not able to fully express their emotions? Talk to me a little bit about that.
Emotional independence?
Yes.
To me, emotional independence is where you are really clear. Like, clarity is one of your core values, clarity with yourself, because the truth is we cannot give away what we don't have. And relationships really give us life. And to that end, our closest relationships are a reflection back to us of how we are showing up in the world. So if there are a lot of hyper-dependent people on us, you know, sucking life from us, emotional vampires sometimes they're called, that's an opportunity for me to look at what am I projecting? What am I reflecting that I am attracting this type of energy into my life, right? And so the opportunity to grow, to mature, to evolve is to deal with my stuff. I can speak for me. When I was attracting those type of people, at some point I stopped and said, what is it about me that is drawing these people to me? So then I went on a personal journey. I went into therapy. You know, I stay in relationships that hold me accountable to the level of maturity that I say I want to live. And so that emotional independence gives me freedom. It gives me liberty to make healthy choices. That's what freedom is all about. That's what independence is about. It's not restrictive at all. What it is a posture of responsibility to choose the things that allow me to live out my freedom. And I think that's really on a deeper level what we all want. We might not all know how to get there, but on a deeper level, we all want that. That's what the chaos in this world is about right now. We just don't know collectively how to get there.
I do want to drill down a little bit on the emotional vampires and how do you get there in a bit, but I want to go to the phone call real quick. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Jasmine calling from Virginia. Jasmine, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. So hi. I'm calling because I think that, to me, I'm going to talk about emotional dependence. I don't think it's a bad thing. I know my soulmate for 10 years. We're like in Tom Hanks' movie, we're like carrots and peas. I mean, we were separated because we were both military, so we were separated for 5 years before we even could live together. And sometimes I just look at it on a positive spectrum that it can help to stay faithful and loyal. And it's not an issue because love will prevail everything. And we are, we like, like I said, carrots and peas, we are emotionally dependent, but in a positive way. It just depends on how the relationship is, you know? Hmm. And we have our own personalities, so we feel free to do whatever we want to do, right? Because we have that respect and mutual understanding.
I see. Thank you so much for sharing with us. I do want to talk about that a little bit more after I take a break. So please, I want our listeners to know that we are still taking your phone calls even after 7:30 at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about emotional independence. How do you define it? What is it? Not just for you, but for your loved ones. Please stay with us. And don't forget that you can hear this program and all of the Daily Drum Insight segments via podcast every night on WHUR.com. We post them online before 9 p.m. So if you don't get to hear the entire program, you can on WHUR.com. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm is next on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM, Channel 141. In just a few seconds, we'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Our Wellness Wednesday conversation is focusing on emotional independence, how to define it for yourself and find it for yourself. My guests are author and soul wealth coach Vicki Johnson and licensed therapist Paul Bishay Williams. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I want to talk about what Jasmine was just sharing with us. And she said that, you know, she and her, you know, her soulmate are like peas and carrots. How do you balance, Paul, the emotional independence with the I can't live without you kind of bond?
Okay. So first I want to answer her question. And I think what she's describing is the actions and them committing to each other results in then the emotional response. Because they can be in the same space and get each other mad, and they're not, you know, emotionally dependent on somebody making them mad. That is a symptom of them catering to each other, so the relationship feels better. So when you talk about somebody or somebody that says, I can't live without you, or I can't function without you making me happy, again, that goes back to the dependence when it's unhealthy and you're relying on somebody else's happiness. And that's when it's dysfunctional. That's when it's unhealthy. That's when somebody's being drained. Vicki talked about being in a relationship or attracting certain people. And I think, because I've been there too, so you remind me of myself, I've been there too. So, but I question the attraction because I feel like people who are emotionally dependent, they are attracted to everyone. The issue for me at the time is that I was allowing them to stay. Because I didn't have boundaries. There's another level of emotional dependence when you tell yourself you are responsible for somebody else's emotions. So then I'm neglecting my emotions to make sure somebody else feels good. So that's also emotional neglect and emotional dependence. It's just on the other person.
Mm. Vicki, you spoke earlier about emotional vampires. You know, in the horror movies about Dracula, if he's floating outside the window, he can't get in unless you open the window. Is that the same kind of thing?
Yes and no. Sometimes you don't know, you know, that the life is being sucked out of you emotionally in the beginning, which is the power of self-awareness and continual personal development. Because the moment you do identify that and recognize it, here we go. You have a choice to address it. You have a choice to reset boundaries. And if you need to be supported in establishing that support, that's when you call Paul, right? So that he can walk you through and give you tools. No, I'm really serious about that, right? I want to normalize the conversation around therapy. I want to normalize the conversation around getting supported emotionally. You know, I officiate weddings, and a requirement before me doing that is premarital counseling to address some of, you know, these opportunities to really get clear about where you are. Are you really ready? Because I think Paul mentioned earlier about the honeymoon phase. Many, many people are excited about the wedding, about the honeymoon phase, about the novelty of a relationship. But do you have conflict resolution skills? When things get tough, do you have the capacity to sit in that and address what's really going on, to be vulnerable, to be transparent? These are all of the advantages of emotional independence, not to be so separated and isolated within the relationship. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being so healthy, or working toward a state of being healthy in your soul, in your spirit, in your mind, that you have the tools. People don't break up because they stop loving one another. Relationships end because they don't have the skills to resolve conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the opportunity that we have with emotional independence. It's being so clear in your soul that you now have space and capacity, right, to walk through fire with someone. Sometimes people just don't have it because they've not done the work. Mm-hmm. They've always put responsibility on somebody else for making them feel better, or it's your fault, it's your fault. No, when you start taking personal responsibility, that is emotional independence that allows you now to have healthy relationships, platonic relationships, romantic relationships, a relationship with yourself. It starts with me. It starts with me. And that's the power, that's the real power of Independence Day.
Mm-hmm. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about emotional independence. How do we find it for ourselves and for our loved ones? Paul, Vicky mentioned a lot of people don't know how to get there. Now, while I am a supporter of therapy, okay, does everybody need therapy, man?
This is always a funny question because I'm a therapist, right?
So yeah, and I'm cutting into your livelihood here.
there's so many people who benefit from therapy that, you know, and there's so little therapists, so that won't necessarily be an issue. I don't know if everyone needs therapy, but also everybody needs to be able to be aware of themselves and understand themselves and understand their triggers and how to manage the things that they go through. So if you're talking about, I'm unable to do these things, I'm tired of doing the things the same way, which is causing me to be in the same place, then yes, come to therapy. Because when you cut corners, you end up in the same circle. And that's what a lot of people do a lot. They cut mm-hmm. the corners because they don't want to address the issues. They don't want to address the pain. So again, we're going back to emotional dependency. I'm expecting somebody else to fix it. Or I'm going to focus on somebody else so I don't have to focus on me.
Mm-hmm. This is the second time that I've heard that term triggers, once from you and once from Vicky. Talk to me about, you know, first of all, if you go to therapy, obviously there is something that triggered you to realize that there is a problem. What? How do you define a trigger, and when does the person who has been triggered feel that they need to talk to somebody? When does that become, you know, an issue, Paul?
It really depends. It's always personal when it comes to that. Because some people might see, hey, something is wrong and I'm tired of responding or feeling or reacting to this thing that just sets me off in a different space. And then they can come right away and say, all right, I don't want to, you know, leave this to myself because I don't want to deal with this by myself. So let me get some tools and tips, some coping mechanisms, some strategies to kind of address it so this doesn't stop me from moving forward. And then there's some people who are used to operating in chaos, used to operating with their triggers, and they just move along and to the point where they can no longer function. So there's different ways and different, you know, it's different for people, sorry.
Mm-hmm. So how do you know what question to ask when you sit in your therapist's office if your issue is not readily apparent?
That's where relationship comes in. The biggest thing is I tell my clients in the first session and throughout, I remind them we're creating a relationship. If we don't have a relationship, then I can't know who you are, you can't know who I am, or we can't know what your issues are or what your triggers are or what you need to discuss. So as we're having our first session, I'm letting them know this is your show. I'm letting them know if you feel like you're not getting something and you feel like we're just hanging out, you need to challenge me because I don't know what you need until you tell me. I don't know what the issue is until you tell me. Let's describe your day. Let's describe your childhood. How are your parents' relationships? How are your relationship with your parents? How are your friendships? So we're going to have a conversation about getting to know, and things come out that way.
Are you getting all Freudian on me? Are we going to have to go all the way back to, you know, to our emotional embryonic stage to figure out what's going on?
No. Again, it's not as complicated as people think. It's not what we've been shown historically. It's more of a relationship, and even some of the theories I challenged when I went through school, because a lot of them don't even, we can't connect in our community with some of those treatment modalities. So, but if we establish a relationship, then we can really, or we can apply some of the stuff that we learned from the school, but it's more about the relationship, because they don't really teach you in school. They teach you about theory, but practice is totally different than theory. I mean, across the board.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about emotional independence. I want to talk a little bit, Vicki, about, you know, outside of the, you know, marriage, romantic, intimate relationships. And let's talk a little bit more about family. And I think this is particularly the case right now, pandemic notwithstanding, that we're going to be having children go off to college, or some may not go to college, they may go into the military, some may go off to work and leave home, and parents become empty nesters. Let's talk about the parents first. After they've, you know, done this job of raising their children for, you know, for 18 years or so, and now all of a sudden the child is seeking independence, literal independence, hopefully financial independence. Boy, a lot of parents want that. the young people are moving out, whether they're moving, you know, to college, into a dorm, or finding their own place, or whatever it may be. What are the pitfalls of being emotionally dependent on parenting?
I'm chuckling because I live that.
Yes.
My daughter is now 26.
Woo!
And I was a single mom. And when she went away to college, it absolutely was a crossroads for me, because I had to decide, who am I now? As a single mom, you know, getting her to all of her activities, like, her life really was mine, even though, you know, I had my career and my business and the things that I was doing. She was my priority. When she went to college, I had a moment. And it was a long moment. I don't mean like a moment, a minute. I mean like a moment, a few months.
Did you drive Did you drive your daughter crazy?
I did not.
You sure you didn't? You weren't calling and blowing up her phone?
Nope. Okay. I was not.
Okay.
I was not. Now, some parents may do that, and there's no judgment. I understand that. But I had to sit with, who am I now? Because frequently parenting becomes our identification. Right? It's how we come to know ourselves. It's how other people, some of her friends didn't even know my name. I was just her mom. right? Mm-hmm. And so if you hear that for years and years and years, and then they're away now becoming adults on their own, living independently or, you know, wherever that takes them, I had to really sit in the truth of what am I going to do now? Who am I now? And actually, it was an opportunity for me to go into therapy. I just wanted to work through a lot of the trauma that I kept living through, divorce from her father, you know, miscarriage of a child. Like, I didn't really have time to heal those places, right? So I just, it was an opportunity for me to stop and sit and reevaluate what do I want to do now? And that's the trajectory that I've been on. So I offer for those listening who may be in that space or approaching that space, see it as an opportunity to reset and then reposition and start, in some cases, rebuilding your life. Because being a parent requires a lot of sacrifice. It requires a lot of compromise. It requires a lot of putting on pause our dreams, right, to make sure that our children are okay.
Mm-hmm. But so you said you were sitting with yourself and asking, you know, who am I now without my daughter in the house and off to college and the like? How difficult was that for you? You said, you know, you had a moment. Long moments, plural. What kind of work was going on in your head? Did you have to kind of reevaluate who you were outside of being a parent?
I did, because a large part of being a parent is being busy and filling up time. So I didn't have practices to get her to, or classes, or programs, or school events. I didn't have all of that. So now there's this gap. And a lot of us are uncomfortable with silence. Like, noise, even if it's stressing us out, is familiar. So it's comfortable. Now when I don't have that noise, now when I don't have such a busy schedule, therein lies the opportunity for me. What am I going to put in that place? Am I going to put something there that's good for me? Am I going to rush into something that's not good for me? Is it an opportunity for me to really evaluate my health? Because the truth is, a lot of our comorbidities and our unhealthy lifestyles come from emotions that we've suppressed. So it's an opportunity to do some work, and an opportunity to talk and build a relationship with a therapist, with a counselor, so I can talk through what I have been feeling but haven't been able to express. And I'll even insert here very transparently, after my daughter was born, I dealt with postpartum depression for 5 years. Mm. Right? So I don't even remember her as an infant because somebody else was caring for her. So I've walked through this dark place of doing the work, and then the light comes on, and you're like, wow, there's so much more life available to me now that I have healed those wounds, if you will, that and those holes that have been in my soul that I never stopped long enough to identify. That's the opportunity that your listeners have.
So, Paul, how should parents address children, even adult children, young adult children, if I may, who are emotionally dependent, who, you know, you may have parents who say, look, I'm, you know, I love you, but I'm ready to be an empty nester, I'm ready for you to go to college or into the military, or I'm just ready for you to go, you know, but the children young adults, though they may be, may feel emotionally dependent. So how do you deal with children who are emotionally dependent on parents? And I'm not talking about, you know, financially or having a roof over their heads, but even if they are in the house, that, you know, the parents want them to find their own way.
Yeah, encouragement and boundaries. Boundaries are so huge in any relationship. But as a child is emotionally dependent on a parent to be their happiness, we have to challenge them. We have to encourage them. We have to allow them to learn to trust themselves. We also have to have more communication, because they might no longer depend on you, but might find somebody else to depend on, and they're still emotionally dependent outside of themselves. So if we teach them how to be, teach them and encourage them to be emotionally independent is so important. We got to have more conversations, the conversation that we tend to avoid, and we try to fix by our behaviors, by covering them. We have to talk about what they're feeling. We have to identify where their feelings are coming from and why they're dependent on you as opposed to themselves, and really learning how to express themselves and trust their own emotions and trust their responses to their emotions or the actions and environments that they're in. We can't continue to hold them, you know, in our hands.
Vicky, is your daughter, would you say that she's emotionally independent?
She's getting there.
She's getting there. What do you mean by that?
She's getting there. You know, she's getting there because I'm giving her opportunity to get there. She'll ask me, you know, what do I think? And I'll say, what do you think?
Is it, wait a minute, giving her opportunity?
Is that
a metaphor for I'm inviting you to leave?
Oh, no, not at all. We have a beautiful relationship. When I say giving her opportunity to get there, I don't readily give her the answers always. It's, what do you think? I want to teach her how to think, not what to think. I want to teach her how to think for herself, right? How to make decisions, how to assess what the potential consequences may be of your choices. And that's not an easy thing to do, but it's important because our children need to know how to think, how to become critical thinkers themselves, right? Because I won't always be there for her. And that's a scary place. Let me just admit that. It's not an easy thing to say or an easy thing to do. But with practice, she then builds her confidence to be able to make decisions.
Mm-hmm. When, and this is such a really critical piece when you're talking about a parent and an adult child and the evolution of the emotional relationship. And, you know, and I talk about this quite frequently, where my mother, for example, is 78 years old. And there are a handful of very specific things that I do not discuss with my mother or say around her, such as foul language, because it's disrespectful. Can't do it. Okay, not going to happen. I always respect my mother. Okay. However, when you talk about an emotionally healthy relationship, even though I'm acutely aware that she is always my mother, our conversations have evolved into conversations about adult life. They are friendly and funny and silly and, you know, and the whole bit. And even though I still call her Ma, but, you know, there are times when the conversations that I have with her, I believe, are really emotionally healthy, because they are the same kinds of things that I would talk to her about, talk to my peers, the guys, or, you know, the women friends that I may have. Is that the right track? I think it's healthy. Feels good to me, feels good to her. What do you think, Paul and then Vicky?
Well,
Yeah, I think it's definitely on the right trajectory. I mean, at that particular age, so Erickson has these seven stages of development. And right now you're in the ego integrity versus despair. So this is the wisdom. This is where she figures out, oh, let me at least leave this with my son. And then you're figuring out a safe space to talk about these things. And you're talking about when you're not using the profanity, you have boundaries. So you both have boundaries when you're talking about the relationship, but now you're having a healthy conversation about the things that you need to talk about, that you're okay to talk about. She trusts you that you're old enough to have these conversations. You trust yourself that when you talk about these things, you won't feel like the little boy that was shamed from talking. So now
right.
you have this relationship where you guys, okay, I'm a little bit free now, but I'm not going to be using profanity or be disrespectful because I love her, and that's what I'm just supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and a prime example of that is, you know, I could be driving down the street and she sees an ugly outfit and she will now say, boy, that's an ugly outfit that woman has on. And I will say, you know, Mom, you're absolutely right. It's absolutely hideous, you know. No, you know, no profanity, safe space, because, you know, if I were with the boys and we were driving down the street and one of my buddies would say, man, that's an ugly outfit she has on.
Right, right, yeah.
So
the parental filters are gone from her. And then you know, I guess the fear behind the filters are gone for you. So you're just like, okay, I'm just be able to just kind of relax and have a conversation and talk about it.
Although my mother was always tasked with her filters, but that's another conversation. What do you think, Vicky? When are you, or have you entered into, you know, that space, or are you still mom teaching mode when you're talking about that? You know, the emotional maturity, the evolution of emotional independence and relationship with your daughter.
I've entered into that space. My daughter is getting used to that space, right? Because she still sees me and entreats me as the authority in her life. And I, in turn, give her space, right? I encourage her. Like, that is a part of the encouragement that I'm giving to her, the coaching, if you will. Like, what do you think? You know, we do have boundaries, but I also allow her to know that she has permission to be transparent. What are you really feeling about this? And in turn, me and my mother, who is 84, have a similar relationship to you and your mom, right? It has shifted from parent-daughter, mother-daughter, really to friends. Like, me and my mom are friends. We talk frequently. You know, she freely shares. We laugh a lot. I freely share. So there has been an evolution in our relationship, and that has served as a model for me with my daughter. And I was blessed to witness my mother's relationship with her mother. My grandmother's now deceased, but I was around both of them long enough to see and witness a dynamic of that. And so it has been a multi-generational, if you will, perspective for me that gives me those tools to now have a relationship with my daughter.
And I would certainly, applaud that and add that, you know, as soon as it is, you know, certainly safe to do so, to, you know, for you and your daughter to get together, you know, with your mother and talk about ugly outfits, because I think that, you know, when all the filters are off and all jokes aside, but not really, that it's a great opportunity to really examine, you know, that wonderful triple threat of emotional comfort, emotional independence, you know, daughter, mother, grandmother. I'm sure it literally would be, you know, a wonderful thing. I've got 30 seconds for each of you. Paul, a real quick final thoughts.
I think it's a great conversation, and I would love for everybody to explore themselves and understand where their emotions come from, understand their emotions, and allow themselves to be in control of them.
Vicky, real quick.
Yes, I would encourage you all to really live from your overflow, like serve other people from your emotional overflow and maintain a full capacity for yourself so that you're not living, giving, serving, loving from a deficit.
Wonderful, wonderful way to end this conversation. I want to thank both of you, Vicki Johnson, Paul Bishay Williams, for talking to us and giving us the wisdom of your insight. And I certainly wish both of you emotional health and independence. Thank you all so very much. I appreciate
it. Thank you, Harold. It's been awesome.
Thank you.
All right. That is the Daily Drum for this Tuesday, July 1st. My goodness, it is the 1st of July. What is it? It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday, July 1st. Let's just hope July behaves unlike the rest of the year. I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for The Connection, everyone. Good night.